From the newsrooms of WBUR and GBH, I'm Paris Halston. Welcome to Consider This from Boston, where the next mayor of the city will have a lot of items on their to-do list. One of the biggest, dealing with the Boston Police Department. Right now, the agency is without a leader, embroiled in multiple scandals, and facing criticism for not doing more to reduce crime. For more on the troubles at BPD and how we might go about fixing them, we're joined now by WBUR's Allie Jar Manning. Hey, Allie, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me on.
So, Allie, I listed a bunch of things there, but briefly remind us exactly what's going on in the police department.
Yeah, Boston has a police department really in disarray. The police commissioner was fired over domestic violence allegations. More than a dozen officers have been charged with overtime fraud. The former head of the police union is accused of molesting children. And the department has long faced criticism over whether it does enough to solve shootings in the poorer parts of the city.
Well, that sounds like a lot for a new mayor to be dealing with.
Yeah, and it's been a big part of the discourse in this mayoral race. Whoever wins is going to pick the next commissioner of the department, and nearly all the candidates think that there should be a national search for the next police commissioner. That's something that hasn't happened since 2006 under then-Mayor Tom Menino. Most candidates also support cutting police overtime and using the money to expand social services. And the six frontrunners have a variety of other proposals covering everything from body cameras to police discipline. But Paris, as you said, writing and reforming the department is going to be a huge task. I spoke with Ray Hammond. He's pastor of Bethel AME Church and a member of BMA 10 Point, an anti-violence organization. Here's what he said.
I hope in, you know, whatever your religious or non-religious tradition might be, that you have something like prayer, because you're going to need a little bit of a miracle.
And Reverend Hammond points out that the mayors do, in fact, have powers beyond prayer. They can choose the commissioner, set the police budget, and then, of course, they have the bully pulpit. But he emphasizes that making change in any entrenched system is hard, and it's not always rewarding politically.
It can eat up a lot of your political capital, and you may not have a lot to show for it because it's a long-haul change.
So it sounds like whoever wins the mayor's office will have their work cut out for them, and they may not even get the credit for the progress they make.
Right. I mean, this is a four-year term that they're winning, but, you know, we also tend to have mayors here who stay for quite a while. But what's good for the mayor's political fortune and winning that second term isn't always what's best for the city.
And of course, Allie, we've seen so much activism for police reform in the last year here in Boston. So what are local activists saying now, and what do they want to see from new leadership?
Well, they're saying that past mayors really haven't done enough. So Jamal Crawford is one of those activists. He was part of the latest attempt at reform. That was the task force set up by Mayor Walsh last year. And that group recommended a new civilian oversight board and a bunch of other reforms. But those changes have really been slow going.
This is like, you know, getting people out of a cult, deprogramming. And people have to have the political will to get that done. And that's just to get the ball moving, because it's still not going to be done overnight.
And I was curious to put into context how Boston's issues compare to other cities and whether the problems we have here are fixable. So I spoke to Chuck Wexler. He's the executive director of the Police Executive Research Forum. And he says he's seen departments in other cities, departments in much worse shape than Boston's, succeed in fixing their problems over time. And he says change is possible at BPD as well.
You've got some internal issues there that have to be dealt with. And there may be some larger issues, you know, in terms of, you know, internal affairs and in terms of accountability. But certainly they're fixable.
Wexler says the most important decision the next mayor will face is choosing the police commissioner. That leader is the key player in how BPD is run.
But we've still got several more months before the November mayoral election. So could we expect to see any progress from acting Mayor Kim Janey in the meantime?
Yeah, so in April, Janey named the first leader of that new police oversight office that came out of the Walsh Reform Task Force. And Janey charged that director with hiring staff and reviewing the police internal affairs process. So far, though, we haven't heard anything out of that office. But many Bostonians are really wondering how much longer they'll have to wait to see changes that are going to make a difference in their lives. I spoke with a woman named Jazara Pierre from Hyde Park the other day. She gives the police department pretty poor marks. She said a D for effort. She's not optimistic, really, about seeing any real reform anytime soon, though she hopes things might change by the time her toddler son is older.
It's not going to happen within a year or two. It's going to take a long time, and I'm hoping by his generation he'll notice a difference compared to what we are dealing with now and then what, you know, the future generation will have to deal with.
But those mayoral candidates are really hoping to surprise people like Jazara.
Well, it'll be interesting to see if they can. That's WBUR senior reporter Ali Jarmanning. Thanks so much.
Thanks for having me.
Before we go, I should tell you what else is up. Police are investigating this weekend's deadly attack in Winthrop as a hate crime. Authorities say that 28-year-old Nathan Allen killed two Black people, 68-year-old David Green and 60-year-old Ramona Cooper. Suffolk County DA Rachel Rollins claims there's evidence that Allen was a white supremacist.
There were writings that he had in his home about some troubling beliefs that he had.
Ramona Cooper was a veteran of the Air Force. David Green was a retired state trooper. In other news, there's been some movement in the nurses' strike at St. Vincent Hospital in Worcester. The strike started more than 100 days ago as nurses advocated for more equitable staffing levels and pay. Hospital management presented the nurses with a third offer Sunday, but Marlena Pellegrino, a St. Vincent registered nurse who is part of the union's bargaining unit, says she's not pleased with the offer.
It actually is a couple of steps backwards from their original proposal and from anything that we need to actually meet the safety care needs of our patients.
St. Vincent CEO Carolyn Jackson argues the new offer addresses staffing concerns by bringing in more backup, also known as resource nurses.
It results in an improvement of the staffing that we've had previously. And the other two proposals that we've put forth also resulted in improvements to the staffing that we've had previously.
The union expects to present a counteroffer tomorrow. And as you all know, it's hot out there. Like, this is southern level hot, y'all. A heat advisory is in effect for much of the region through tomorrow, with temperatures in and around Boston up in the 90s. It's the second heat wave so far this month, something that meteorologist Dave Epstein says is not typical.
Many areas will have more 90 degree days than they would typically have the entire summer before we even get into the full first week of July. So this is very unusual to have so many 90 degree days so early.
The city of Boston has declared a heat emergency. Cooling centers around the city will be open today, tomorrow, and Wednesday from 10:30 a.m. until 6 p.m. Make sure y'all stay cool and hydrated out there. From the newsrooms of WBUR and GBH, the greatest combo since 90-degree weather and a cool breeze. I'm Paris Austin. Be well. True story. Consider this as only part of my day job. I also work on WBUR's local daily news magazine show, Radio Boston. Radio Boston is another way to get a whole bunch of information about what's happening in our city and our region every day. Just search for Radio Boston in your favorite podcast app and hit subscribe.